Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve will show you how to be more cheerful.
The Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it, that God gives us, little old you, little old me, the opportunity to really bless His heart, to really do things with paper, with money, with just things that don't matter. You know, when you die, none of that stuff matters. But things here on earth that you can do to make a difference in the lives of people that will live on for all eternity.
It has well been said that there are two categories of people in this world, givers and takers. And after today's message, you'll be able to know in which group you fall. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today he's going to help us see how generous and cheerful giving blesses the heart of God and will bless you and me as well. The message is part of Pastor Jeff's insightful and revealing four-message series, Beyond Ourselves, Living and Giving to the Glory of God, which is also our special thank you gift for your support this month. You can find out more online at fromhisheart.org. Open your Bible, if you can, now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's Pastor Jeff to help us listen in on Confessions of a Cheerful Giver.
Yesterday, my daughter Amy, who lives in the Houston area, took my mom and my two sisters, who are moms, took them out for a special lunch to celebrate Mother's Day. I couldn't be there, and so Amy wanted to do this for her grandmother and for her aunts. And she didn't want to go to just a so-so place. She wanted to go to a really nice place. And so my mom's favorite place is Papa Do's. And so they went to Papa Do's. Well, if any of you have ever gone to Papa Do's, you're not going to go to Papa Do's with four people and get out of there, you know, for $20. I mean, it's going to be expensive. And my sisters and my mom are like, Amy, really, do you want to do this? Because this is going to be a lot. And Amy said, yes, I want to do it. And I want you to order whatever you want to get. And they were a little hesitant, but they got over that. And then and they had such a great time. And Amy told me this. She said, Dad, I think I had more fun than they did, because she was the giver. And I told her, I said, well, that's what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you would like to enter into an arena called being more blessed? Anybody say, I'd like to be more blessed? Well, then enter into the wonderful world of generous giving. If you have your Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at a few verses. Verses that Paul shared with the Corinthian church to help them enter into the joy of being a generous, cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll begin reading in verse 6. The scripture says this, Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I want to share with you three truths today. Three truths about giving, and three truths that will hopefully motivate you to say, I want to get in on the more blessings that God has for givers. I want to enter into the wonderful world of generous giving. Three truths. Truth number one, generous giving makes perfect sense. How can generous giving make perfect sense? Well, it makes perfect sense this way. God is a generous giver. I think we would all agree with that. God is a generous giver. And the goal in the Christian life, if you say you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, the goal as a disciple is to become like your teacher. Jesus said that. A disciple becomes like his teacher. Well, then I'm gonna grow in this thing called giving because God is a generous giver. Hands down, no questions about it, God is a generous giver. And what motivates God to give? It's his love. He loves, so he gives. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His love motivated him to give. And what did it motivate him to give? The scripture says, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing in all of heaven, and that was his own dear son. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? It makes perfect sense to be a generous giver because God is a generous giver. And if I want to be like him as he wants me to be like him, then I'm gonna grow in this thing called generous, abundant, cheerful giving. But not only is God a generous giver, God is a proportionately generous giver. See, God gives back to you and me proportionate to what we give to him. Look at verse 6 again. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. The scripture says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Luke 6:38. If you use an eyedropper to give, then God uses an eyedropper to give back to you. But if you use a huge measure, then God uses a huge measure. So what's the first truth? Giving makes perfect sense. Truth number two, generous giving involves the heart. Let each one do, verse 7 says, just as he has purposed in his heart. How does God want us to give? He wants us to think it through. The heart is involved in giving, and the heart is really, really important, and the motive behind the gift, really, really important. See, a wrong motive in giving, that doesn't bless the Lord, that grieves the Lord. And he wants us to give from a heart of love, from a heart that says, Lord, you have blessed me so much, I want to give this back to you because I love you. Now, if we don't give from that standpoint, it grieves the Lord. Now, let me share with you three kinds of impure motives that people can have when it comes to giving. First impure motive they can have is selfishness. They can look at verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And they can look at Luke 6:38, where the Lord says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. And that person says, hey, the way for me to make more money for me is to take the Lord up on his offer. Doesn't he say in Malachi that if I give to him, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out for me a blessing so big that I can't even contain it, and they tap into that, and it looks good on the surface, but God looks at the heart, and the whole motivation is selfish. It's selfishness. It's what am I going to get out of this deal, rather than here, Lord. So selfishness is one way that you can grieve the Lord because you have a wrong heart and a wrong motive. Oh, what's another way? Another way is listed in verse 7, not grudgingly. You can give grudgingly. You say, what does that mean, to give grudgingly? Well, that means that you give with sorrow, with sadness, with grief, with heaviness. You know what that shows God? That shows God that you love money more than you love him. So you don't wanna don't give that way. Don't give grudgingly. And then the third way he says you can give with a wrong heart, with a wrong motive, is under compulsion. Under compulsion, what does that mean? It means you're under distress. It means someone's twisting your arm to give. They're hitting you up to give. They're gonna call you and call you and call you and call you to finally say, all right, just go away. You know, that's giving under duress. and distress, giving under compulsion. You don't want to give that way. That's kind of like when we had the ice storm here in, I think it was in 2000, 2001, whenever that was. And you know what happens when people are in a bad way with an ice storm and there's no electricity? Here come the guys from different parts of the country with generators for four times the price, right? They say, well, it's supply and demand. And so you're in need and you write the check under compulsion. You don't want to spend four times the amount, but you say, what choice do I have? This guy's got me over a barrel. Listen, God doesn't want you to give because he has you over a barrel. He doesn't want you to give and you got tears in your eyes parting with your dead friends. The scripture says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver and he will bless us for doing that. Man, it is such a joy. And, you know, you can give with the wrong motive or you can give with the right motive. And the right motive blesses the heart of God. It is so cool. It says in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. You know that word cheerful? That word is the Greek word where we get our English word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Somebody that has joy in giving, somebody that has gladness in giving, someone who is so willing to give, someone who sees a need and says, God has provided me the means to meet that need. Boy, the Lord loves that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, I was listening to a message on this passage, and the pastor was saying, you know, that God has a special love for a cheerful giver. And he loves people, okay, but then if you're a giver, he really loves the givers, the cheerful givers. And I thought, that doesn't sound right to me. That God has it, you know, like, I love you, but I really love you. You know, because I've always preached and believed that there's nothing that you can possibly do to get God to love you anymore. And there's nothing you can possibly do to get God to love you any less. God loves you. For God so agapeo the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves everybody. But I do think this. When it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver, I think that that just does something to God's heart. The scripture says in Proverbs 15, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. I think that's in the heart of God, where the Lord just says, oh, I just love it when my people cheerfully give, when my people gladly, generously, willfully give. I just love that. And I thought, how cool to be able to do something to God's heart that would cause his inmost being to rejoice. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if I operate by faith, I can please God. And when I give cheerfully, that just does something to the heart of God. That just warms the heart of God because God says, they believe me. When Jeff gives generously, cheerfully, he believes me that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He believes me that if he sows bountifully, he'll reap bountifully. There was a dear lady who passed away. She was in her 90s. She had no children. She was with her husband. He passed away in his 90s. They got to the place where they couldn't come to church anymore. They lived, I think, in the Northwest, if I remember correctly, and they watched our church on television. And they loved our church, and they loved the ministry that came from our church. And when this lady died, she wasn't a wealthy woman by any means. She died 9 months after her husband died. She died a fairly poor widow, and she gave all her estate to our television ministry because she said, I believe in what you're doing, and I want the money that God has given me, I want that to go out even after my death, that it would be blessing people and it would be sharing the word of God with people. And God loves that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So generous giving makes perfect sense. Truth number two, generous giving involves the heart. Truth number three, generous giving makes a genuine difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 in the Contemporary English Version says this, God can bless you with everything you need And you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. The scriptures say God freely gives his gifts to the poor and always does right. God gives seed to farmers and provides everyone with food. He will increase what you have so that you can give even more to those in need. You will be blessed in every way, and you will be able to keep on being generous. Then many people will thank God when we deliver your gift. What you are doing is much more than a service that supplies God's people with what they need. It is something that will make many others thank God. The way in which you have proved yourselves by this service will bring honor and praise to God. You believed the message about Christ and you obeyed it by sharing generously with God's people and with everyone else. Wow. Wow. It makes a genuine difference when you're a generous giver. First way it makes a difference is the gift that you give meets the need. That's what he said in verse 12. He says in the New American Standard, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's doing even much more than that. But it does fully supply the needs of the saints. You hit the need and you give to that need and it supplies that need. In the Old Testament, they took up an offering, Moses did, for them to build the tent of meeting, the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was going to be, where the glory of God was going to be. And the people gave willingly, and they gave so much that Moses had to tell the people, don't give anymore. We have stuff running out our ears. You've given so much and it's so abundant. And he had to tell them to stop. That would be such a cool thing for me to have to tell you to stop. I mean, I wouldn't, but for... No, but to be in that position where people's hearts are just so moved, we just want to give and give and give. Hey, what happens? Well, the need gets met. And then secondly, the giver is blessed. The giver is blessed. Verse 8 says that God, in the New American Standard, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God just gives to you. And verse 11, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. God is going to enrich you. Now, remember this about giving. This is what people don't understand. Giving and the call from God for us to give, that is not God's way to impoverish you. That is God's way to enrich you. That is not God's way to take from you. Like I said, God doesn't need anything from any of us. It's God's way to give to us. And we get it all twisted and we get it all convoluted. And we're the farmer who plants not 10 acres of wheat. We plant 10 feet of wheat. And then we wonder, well, why don't I have more? Because God is a proportionate giver. That's why. Because by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So if you give big, God says, I'll give back to you. Take it from R.G. Letourneau. You shovel it out and God will shovel it in, and God has a bigger shovel than you do, and you can never outgive God. And so as you give, God gives back to you. And the reason he gives to you is not so that you can become the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea, nothing goes out. It just, everything comes in and it dies there, right? There's no life in the Dead Sea. You can't even stay in the Dead Sea for very long because it affects your skin. There's so much salt in the water. And so you don't want to be a Dead Sea kind of Christian where things flow in, but nothing flows out. But see, if you're a conduit, if you're somebody that God can trust, because as God blesses you, you use it to bless others. And then God gives more to you, and then you use it to bless others. And God just keeps giving to you because it's like, you know, Mary over there, Sue over here, Fred over here, I can trust him with wealth because he just keeps giving it out. There's a saying by the missionary Jim Elliot. He said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Simbola gave his life in reaching an unreached people group, the Aka Indians. But that's true with money. If you hold on to it, hey, you're a fool because you can't keep it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And God will bless you. The gift meets the need. they gave to the saints in Jerusalem. That was the gift that Paul was taking up. And he said, man, if you give, you'll meet that need because those people are in need. So as we give, the gift meets the need. The giver is blessed. And lastly, and most importantly, the Lord is glorified and praised. The people were going to give thanks to God. There was going to be an overflow of thanksgiving to God. And then it says that he was going to be praised. They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. God was going to be glorified. God was going to be honored. God was going to be praised. God's heart was going to do flip-flops. Why? Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it, that God gives us, little old you, little old me, the opportunity to really bless his heart, to really do things with paper, with money, with just things that don't matter. You know, when you die, none of that stuff matters, but things here on earth that you can do to make a difference in the lives of people that will live on for all eternity. This is the bottom line. It makes the difference in a person's heart when they give to the Lord. You have to first give yourself to the Lord. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 8:5. Talked about the Macedonians. They were such big givers. And he said, how were they such big givers? They didn't have a lot of money, but they had first given themselves to the Lord. Listen, if you have not yet given yourself to Jesus, I don't care if you give $1 billion to the work of the Lord. If you don't give your heart, it doesn't mean anything. You have to first give that.
Well, that surely means that if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, if you've never given your heart to him, you're missing the blessing of that relationship on earth, and you'll miss the eternal blessing awaiting. God is using this program to draw you away from you and to him today, to release those selfish forces in your life and surrender to him. And that's why we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org and click the Why Jesus link. It's right on the homepage. And there you'll see who Jesus is and your purpose for living and much, much more. The blessings that will await those who call themselves children of God is waiting on you. Just go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. Are you a selfish person? I mean, if you truly are honest with yourself, are you selfish? Do you think far more about your issues and problems and challenges and dreams of how to succeed and very little about that of others? It is so easy to get wrapped up in ourselves these days, or any days, isn't it? But you know, that is not God's best for us. He's called us to something higher, to experience the blessings of living for his glory and giving generously to his kingdom work. And if that's how you would like to live, then Pastor Jeff's powerful and inspiring series can help you do that. It's called Beyond Ourselves, Living and Giving to the Glory of God. It's our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount. It's available in 4 different formats. Confessions of a Cheerful Giver is in this series, and you heard part 2 of this lesson today. When you give, you'll know that all your support goes to getting these programs on this station and on hundreds across the nation every day. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry. To get Beyond Ourselves, Living and Giving to the Glory of God, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and make your secure gift today. Thank you for whatever you can do to provide the resources needed to bring hope and help to people's ears and hearts around the world. Our time is up for today on From His Heart. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff begins the last message in his Beyond Ourselves series. So be sure to join us on Thursday for a clear and encouraging message entitled Making It Count, as we open God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.